Hello, welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast with me, Alice Arnold. This week, my guests are Nigel Harmon and Mark Benton. They are about to embark on a tour of David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross. Now, it's a play with some, well, dodgy language and a very male cast, so they'll be talking a bit about being lads on tour. It always was cakes, and now I've moved on to these sort of pastry things with, well, this week with Nutella in them. All this cake chat, of course. So I've got Mark Benton and I've got Nigel Harmon in the studio with me.
Hello.
Nigel's not going to have... He's refusing on sort of health grounds.
I'm getting that we're going on stage in 2 weeks thing.
I think Mark can have another one.
Mark's right.
Have a second one, Mark.
I'm going to eat a chocolate cake.
I won't be able to talk for the next 10 minutes.
No, well, you come in because you're going to be in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Are we?
You are, actually, yes. Did you not know?
I hope you are.
No. Have you come from rehearsals now?
Yeah, we've literally just finished. So if I sound a bit hoarse, it's because I've been shouting loudly in an American accent.
Do you know your lines?
We're at that weird...
No, Nigel is shaking his head for the benefit of the listener.
It's a funny... We're in week three, so it's that funny thing where you kind of know them on the train, on the way in. As soon as you get up and start acting, you forget everything.
Yeah.
And so we're at that weird stage, and hopefully that will pass, and week four, which is next week, we'll know them.
Yeah.
I hope it will pass. Because
Well, I think that's all actors pray it will pass.
Yeah, it will pass.
And it flies by so fast that once you miss a bit, you can never catch yourself back up at the moment. So
yeah. Right, because it's fast-paced piece. We'll talk a bit more about the play in a minute. But Nigel Harmon, everyone will know from, well, EastEnders originally, yeah. I suppose, long-running drama. But you've always, stage has always been your thing, hasn't it?
Yeah. From a young age, yeah. So I love going back on stage, and I really kind of I haven't done it for a few years now, and I'm really enjoying being back up there and sort of strutting around and having a laugh and bumping into things and occasionally doing something right.
So you like a bit of a strut because you were in Mamma Mia, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the original cast of Mamma Mia. Yeah.
So you do a bit of that singing and dancing
thing.
Bit
of the singing and dancing. Yeah.
You were an Arts Ed boy, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you know Chiswick High Road.
I know Chiswick High Road very well.
I don't know whether to bring this up or not, but you have talked in the past because I'm going to go on a cruise in March. I love my cruising.
Lovely. Where are you going?
Hong Kong, Singapore, sort of area.
Yeah.
You didn't like it very much, did you?
No, I did. Well, I was a cruise ship dancer, and it was the height of campery. But it was more important that you turned up and did your duties on the quiz desk than it was to put on a good show. And some of the show was so ropey. So I'd just come out of college. But I loved the experience, and I look back on it really fondly and laugh. But I think the entertainment has improved markedly since I was on it. I mean, we used to hand wash our costumes in the showers, and there'd be like glitter everywhere. I mean, it was just horrendous. So, and some of the people on it, including myself, were really woeful dancers. So it's kind of, I look back at it great, but if I'd been in the audience, I'd have been slightly bemused.
But were you good at running the quizzes?
I was very good at the quiz. Yeah, I was good at, and the library and all this stuff that we had to do. Just general walking around talking to people. How are you having a nice evening?
Now, Mark, you've also been in long-running thing because you were in Waterloo Road for a long time. So you've done that long-running drama thing as well.
Yeah, I was in it for two years, and I was in it in Manchester. Then when it strangely moved to Glasgow, I was in it up there as well, which was a bit of a weird one. You sort of to stretch your imagination. But, it was a long... I mean, I was only in it for 2 years. And that was long enough.
And then you came up for parole.
Exactly.
Did both of you decide to leave your long-running things yourself, or did they?
No. Well, I don't know about you.
I wanted to leave, yeah. I'd wanted to leave for quite a while. I found it was quite a difficult... It was quite a difficult one, that one. And, I sort of got to the point where I didn't care about acting that much anymore. It was just like, you know, I could look at a page. I'm sure you were like that with EastEnders. I could look at a page once and go, right, okay, I'm ready, action. You know, say the lines and it's gone. And I got to the point where I think I was a bit more like, this is not, it's not satisfying. It's not, you know, and that's my fault. So
it's not what you came into the business for.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you in The Second Coming.
Ah, now you're talking.
That was great. That.
Yeah,
I remember that. Oh, that was a brilliant.
Yeah,
God,
I absolutely.
Really
yeah,
was.
I loved that job. Yeah. It was funny that because I'd worked with the director before, Adrian Shergold, and he rang me up. He said, "I've got the script. Have a look. See if you like the character." You know, and I read it. I read about, I don't know, the first five pages or something, and I rang him straight up and said, "Yes, I'd love. Please, can I do it?" You know, so
such a brilliant idea. They should put that on again. I don't know if it's available anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if,
is it available?
It's on DVD. Yeah, I don't know if it's ever been shown again. I don't think it has. But I mean, it's Russell T. Davison, he's a genius. And Adrian Shergold, fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you do a bit of that singing and dancing thing?
I do. It has been known, yes. Yeah,
you did Strictly?
I was on Strictly,
How
yes.
How was that?
It was great, yeah. No, I had a great time on it. I mean, it was... I hurt my knees the first couple of weeks. I tore the cartilages in both my knees.
Whoa.
And I was... You know, it was a struggle to walk. But the great thing about it... It was
struggled to walk.
My partner used to say, "How come you can walk but you can't? How come you can dance but you can't walk?" And they pumped a load of steroids on my knees. But the nice thing about that was, even though I was in pain, it took away that kind of thing of going, "I've got to win." So what we ended up doing was just having a good time and having a laugh. And my partner was a really good laugh, so it sort of took the pressure off. So it was a really nice experience. And because some of them were like, "Oh, I've got to win," and
yeah.
And no, I never...
Were they? Was it, like, competitive backstage?
I mean, it was... My year was lovely. They were all lovely people. And there was a competitiveness, but not in terms... Not at anybody's expense. You know, so it was never like, "I've got to beat you," or... It was always people really desperate to do well and to win it, but in a nice way.
Mm. Tell us about Glengarry Glen Ross, then. How did this all come about?
David Mamet wrote an amazing play in 1983 that everyone really responded to. And they did a production of it in London last year or 2 years ago.
Last year with Christian Slater.
Yeah, which we both saw, and we heard the tour was coming up. We both approached to do it. And it's a very easy job to say yes to. They're two fantastic parts. Well, it's six fantastic parts. You know, it's a great challenge to do, and it's incredibly funny, and you get to say the F-bomb a lot. So,
yes,
you know.
Language is the thing about that, isn't it? I mean, because when the film came out, I think there was a lot of controversy.
Yeah, I won the swear
count.
Yeah,
I'm really angry about that.
My character, he swears, I think it's 71 times.
Is it?
And Nigel's is only 65, so, you know. I'm top of the tree on that one.
Yeah.
It's just that, I mean, I think the thing is, I love the film too. It's a great film.
I was going to ask if you'd seen the film with Al Pacino and Jack Lemmon, isn't it?
Yeah, when it first came out, I saw it a few times, and I love Jack Lemmon, and obviously Pacino is fantastic. And I think it's a kind of, when people talk about it, you hold that in your mind. And then, you know, when you see it, it's such an exciting show. I mean, I don't know if you saw it on the West End.
I didn't, but...
But I always feel it's like a blast of energy. It's kind of, when it starts, it's like a steam train, or it should be if we do our job right.
Yeah.
But you know, it just keeps going, and it's exciting, and it, like Nigel said, it's funny, and it's so many different things. And I think at the end, hopefully you should feel kind of breathless. You should sort of go, "Oh, wow, it's finished." And when you do it, it feels like it doesn't. When you hit it right, it just goes.
And who else? You said six great parts. So there's six of you.
Might be seven.
There's seven parts here with Bill and the cop.
Yeah. But it's quite a laddie piece, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's about salesmen in an office in the 1980s. And it was sort of the height of that male bravado salesmanship and the testosterone that's being valued. So it's quite interesting to put it on now because the value system has changed and these guys have become quite dated in some ways in their approach to life. And the reason why the play's so desperate in places is because they are becoming obsolete, even in the play. The internet's just kicking up. The door-to-door salesmen are no longer needed. So you look at it and see how far we've come on. And then in the same breath, you look at who's in the White House and you think, well, how far have we come? So you kind of, there is an idea of masculinity that's represented in this play, which is really good to see, to remind us ourselves of why we don't want to go back there, but also to keep progressing and moving forward in that respect, I think is really important. And, you know, it's fine to be competitive and things like that, but when these guys take it too far and they push it and they're bullies and they're misogynists and they're racists in places. So, you know, it's great because it's a part of history now, but we got to make sure it stays.
So are you going to be all lads on the tour, hitting the pubs and...
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. We'll be out clubbing and rocking. We'll be selling stuff on people's doorsteps. I doubt it. I think we'll be home for a herbal tea and the rest of voice.
The sad truth is we're
all of an age.
Yes, unfortunately. Those rock and roll days are gone.
We'll be tucked up in bed by 10.
Yeah. And actually, it takes so much energy to do the show. When it finishes, we'll probably all be like,
little sleep.
Yeah. Good night.
Yeah.
Although we'll be buzzing for a while. Got to cope with that extra, like that hour afterwards where you're still really buzzing and then you'll go.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we can do it right, which we're going to do, I think it will be great. And I think we'll all be on a high afterwards.
It's incredibly short play as well, which is another thing. I mean, it's literally, if we start at 7:30, we're finished by 9:15, and that's with an interval.
Well, you've got time to get to a nice restaurant.
We're hoping to get a job in another play. Turn up in the second half of something else. There must be some Shakespeare.
And people don't have to worry about getting uncomfortable in the seats.
No,
it's done.
But also, it means you can get to it. Because when you're on tour, it's often really hard to find somewhere to eat after the play. Don't you think it is? Because they've all shut. Yeah. Everything's shut by 10:15 or whatever.
Never thought about this. We can get to a restaurant.
But you'll be able to get to a restaurant before it closes.
Yeah.
That is a big bonus when you're on tour.
Never thought of that. That's wicked.
Yeah. So there we go. Something to look forward to. Now, Nigel, you've directed a bit in the past, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to do more of that?
Yeah. I mean, I've got some projects that are sort of tripping along.
Can you tell us about them?
No, not really.
All right. Okay.
They're taking shape and coming, you know, some point in the near future, but, you know. How long's a piece of string? But so I do a bit of that as well, so which I really enjoy. So we'll just see where that leads, really.
Now, this tour takes you up through to May, I think. So it's not a really, really long tour.
11 weeks on the road.
So that's quite manageable, really.
An advent calendar or something, a weekly.
Yeah.
So you actually open it up and it's like Starlight Express and the next week.
Well, consider the last tour I did was a year. This is like a doddle.
This is a little...
Yeah.
And do you know where you're going? Because Anise Dobson was in last week and she knew every venue that she was going to be playing, which I thought that's a miracle because most people only look one week to the next. So you roughly know. Do you know where you're going on your tour?
Yeah, because you do them all.
Yeah, I could do them all, yeah.
You know them all?
Do you know them all?
Well, list them.
Birmingham, Plymouth, Cheltenham, Milton Keynes, Cardiff, Glasgow, Cambridge, Manchester, Brighton and Richmond. Not necessarily in that in order.
And
not forgetting Bath.
And Cardiff.
I said Cardiff. You said it twice. Do we have to go back again?
Which one are you looking forward to most?
Oh, I can't say that.
Richmond's cool because it's around the corner from where I live.
Which one?
Richmond.
Bath's
great. Mm-hmm. Manchester, I love Manchester. Glasgow, I think this show will go down hugely in Glasgow. In fact, most of them.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because there's quite a few that I'm really...
There's quite a few
that I know very well and I'm really excited about going to Manchester, Glasgow and... There's some I've never played at before, like Bath and places like that, which I'm excited because I've never played there.
They won't like the swearing in Bath.
So, you never know.
The fans will be out.
They might not, but there's really nice shops and things you can go to in the daytime. You could do that Roman spa thing.
The Jane Austen Museum.
Yeah.
That's a great city.
Can't not go there.
Yeah. No, and while you're at the Jane Austen Museum, I would get that audience to come to your play because I think there's a crossover there. That Venn diagram, Jane Austen fans
from
Glengarry Glen Ross. Put them together, see what happens. I think that'd be really fun, don't you think? Right, plans for after May. Well, Nigel's not going to tell us anything. It's been all cagey. Any ideas for after May?
Well, we just finished the second series of a thing called Shakespeare in Hathaway that I do with Joe Joyner, which is it's coming out, I think, end of February, March time. And then very shortly after that, we'll find out whether we're doing a third series. So fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can do some more of that because that's great fun. And other than that, nothing at the moment.
And is there a role for either of you in the theatre that isn't this one? that you one day really, really want to do?
The Ugly Sisters.
Is it? Do you...
I think we'd be great as the Ugly Sisters.
I think we'd smash it.
Yeah.
Well, you probably won't have to wait long for that. No, you heard it here first, Faith.
We're just going to put it out
next Christmas.
That we could do with the Ugly Sisters.
And all we can do is hope.
Yeah. That would be the pinnacle.
Because you'd be quite good because you look quite different.
Yeah.
In many ways. And that would be,
I'm quite funny and talented.
Right.
Whereas Nigel is not really.
You're quite opposite.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's quite wooden.
Okay.
As a rule.
Wow. You've seen me dance.
He admitted he was a rubbish dancer on the cruise ship.
Well, I was just playing it down. I'm actually brilliant.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, do you do Strictly?
Oh, yeah.
You would be very good at Strictly because you've had your training.
Oh, huge training.
Then they'd be
and
huge.
And I can wash my own costumes and I've got my own split cell capizios. But what more do you want?
But then there would be a great big hoo-ha because they'd say, well,
massive
trained
hoo-ha
already.
I don't think when they see me do my first rumba, they think I was trained. That's my secret weapon.
Avoid the rumba at all costs.
Oh, really? Is that where we lost your knees?
The rumba's the dance of love, isn't it? Is the rumba, is that the slow one?
Should we put it in the panto?
It's just awful. I just hated that one.
Can we watch you do it then? Shall we have a night, one night, when we come down?
I'll have to practice my snake hips.
Can we get all your dancing sort of tapes?
I tell you what, just watch them on YouTube. Yeah. That's easier for me.
Oh, no, then all the cast could learn them together.
You could do like a master.
And you could do a little thing.
Just watch them first.
Right. What else was I going to ask about? Oh yeah. So you open on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You know that.
Romantic. It's definitely something to bring your partner to.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is because you can go for dinner after.
You can go for dinner after, and then you can go to the Jane Austen. Except that you're in Woking then, so you won't be near the Jane Austen
we'll
Museum
be near
in Woking.
Things in Woking.
But you know, Nigel is still as handsome as he always was.
I can vouch for that.
Anybody,
he is.
You know, wants to come in and just see that handsomeness on stage. Like, you know, just come along.
Yeah. So don't worry about the language.
Yeah, definitely.
Just look
at
him.
I'll wear something tight.
I mean, don't even worry about the play. Just stare at Nigel. It'd be fantastic.
I could just stand there. Yeah. Save me learning stuff. Well, it might be on like a really slow revolve.
Well, what we'll do is we'll do the play. We'll do the play.
Yeah.
Finish 9:15, and then you just go and stand on stage for a bit.
Yeah, and then you could like blow bubbles.
No, I'll be gone by then.
Oh, you'll be on the.
I'll be drinking cocoa, ready for bed.
It's going to be in the local restaurant in Woking.
Yeah,
it's still open.
Yeah. I'll be in the restaurant eating.
You're not going on a date.
Saving a plate for
you. Should we go on a date on Valentine's Day?
My wife might have something to say about it.
You can bring her along. We'll sit at another table.
Right, February the 14th then. Yeah. We're looking forward to
it.
In Woking. I'll see you there. All the best for the run.
Thank you so much.
I hope it goes really, really well. I'm sure it will.
Hopefully
I'll catch it in Richmond. That's the one near me.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. Yeah.
That's near me. So that would be great. Yeah. I'll look forward to it.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast with me, Alice Arnold. And if you enjoyed it, well, why not subscribe to the podcast and get it every week? Or you can review it and tell us what you thought about it. Do all those things. Thank you.